I live in a small studio apartment. I like my place a lot, even though it has some details that always made me really nervous living here. The wall facing the street is basically just a giant window, and I also live on the second floor, so my window is very close to the streets below. The marquee looks very easily climbable and gives direct access to my window. Even though that makes me a little uncomfortable, nothing really ever happened, and it just stopped bothering me a couple of months after I moved in. That is, until last week. Last Monday, I woke up at around 2 a.m. to go get some water to drink. Since the kitchen is right next to the side of my front door, I could hear something coming from the corridor as I filled up a cup. It wasn't coming from another apartment or from the streets. The noise had that very specific reverberation from an empty corridor. I approached the door and could make out that the sound was actually some kind of trap beat playing on repeat. At first, I thought maybe that was just some drunk guy messing around with his phone before getting to his apartment, but after laying in bed again, I could still faintly hear the same beat coming from the corridor. It kept playing and playing until I fell asleep about an hour later. 7 a.m. rolls around and I'm woken up by someone ringing the doorbell. It was a cop. A bunch of them, actually. The landlord and some of my neighbors were also there. Even with the place really crowded, it was really hard to miss the trail of blood that went from the corridor window to the far end of the wall. The cop said that someone was leaving for work early in the morning when they came across the blood smears and then immediately called the police. He questioned me and the neighbors. The place was scrubbed and we went on with our lives, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. Every single day, I always come home and walk over where the blood was, and I always wonder what the heck happened in the corridor that night. Now, I was a little bit uncomfortable living here before, but now I'm definitely really spooked out. I wonder if I'll ever figure out what happened. When I was in college, I lived in apartments that weren't on campus but still called student housing. I saw this guy around that I thought was pretty cute. His name was Kiefer. He knocked on my door one day and he said he was the maintenance man and that he needed to change our AC filters. I was making dinner for my roommate at the time and for myself, and he commented that it smelled really good, so I invited him in to stay for dinner. All went pretty normal as we watched a movie afterwards. Totally innocent. At about midnight or so, I kept telling him that I was really tired, trying to hint for him to leave. My roommate had already gone to bed, so it was just him and me now. After telling him to leave because I was going to bed, he kept trying to talk me out of it, saying that I should stay up longer. He just kept taking forever, trying to drag it out. When he was putting on his shoes, he then started crying that he had a cramp in both of his calves. He told me that he couldn't walk upstairs and that he didn't know what to do. I really wanted to go knock on his door to have his roommate come and get him, but I'm in a wheelchair and I couldn't go upstairs. We had an extra bedroom in our apartment that only had a bed in it and nothing else. He continued asking if he could sleep in the room and I kept telling him no. We argued for like 10 minutes about allowing him to sleep in the extra bedroom. I was so freaking exhausted, I just went ahead and decided to let him. I locked my roommate's door and my door so that he at least couldn't come into our rooms. When I woke up the next morning, luckily he was gone and nothing was stolen. I honestly should have reported it to the apartment complex, but I wasn't really thinking. A couple of days later, I heard someone knock on my bedroom window in the middle of the night, and I totally flipped out about it. It ended up being Kiefer, but obviously I didn't let him in. Then the next night, my roommate and I were in the living room, and then he came and knocked on our door. Ashley, my roommate, answered it, and he asked for me, and she said that I was asleep already. His response?
No, I know she's not asleep. I looked inside y'all's window, so I know she's awake.
Yeah, Kiefer was definitely a creep. So, for some backstory, I moved from a very small town to a relatively large city. It was for university and I was around 19 years old. Since I wouldn't be in the new city until around September, my soon-to-be roommate decided to look for a place for us to live in the fall. In mid-July, she finally found us a decently priced, newly renovated, close to everything apartment. It was on a pretty busy road in the city. Fast forward to September when it was time for me to move in. Myself and my parents get to the building, and it looks a bit disheveled from the front, and upon entering, the inside of the building was an absolute mess. Appliances in the hallways, plaster was running up and down the walls like a child had been given the material to play with, and the flooring was missing in most places. Since the apartment was actually kind of nice, and since it was my first ever apartment away from home, I was absolutely thrilled to finally have a place of my own. Now, this apartment housed many students, as well as the landlord and the superintendent, so it seemed like a relatively safe place to live, right? Wrong. My roommate had the door buzzer hooked up to her phone so that when someone rang, her phone would ring and she had the option to let them in or not. About a week after school had started, I was home since I didn't really have class until later in the day, and my roommate was at work. She texted me to let me know that someone had tried to buzz into the apartment, and when she answered, all she heard on the other end was an unfamiliar voice practically screaming,
"Let me in! Let me in right now!"
Luckily, my roommate had the sense enough not to let them into the building. About 10 minutes later, someone comes banging right on my door. Without saying anything, they just continued knocking for what felt like hours, although it was probably only about 20 minutes in reality. I stayed in my room the entire time with the door closed because I was absolutely so afraid of who might be standing outside my door. Eventually, the knocking stopped, and when I checked the peephole, the person was gone. I felt really relieved that I had avoided what seemed to be some kind of creep looking to get in my apartment for some reason that I really wasn't aware of. Nothing too strange happened again until about 2 weeks later. Again, I was home since I was sick and my roommate was at work. I should note that my roommate was a flight attendant for a small airline, and obviously she wouldn't have her phone if she was already in the air. As I recall, there was no one to buzz the door this time. So it's early morning and not too long after my roommate left for work, and someone came banging on my door. Of course, I didn't get up to answer it because I was still sick in bed, hoping that they would just go away. We weren't expecting anyone, no packages or friends. And besides, how would they get into the apartment if my roommate's phone didn't ring for the door buzzer? When I finally thanked whoever was knocking at the door as left, someone actually unlocks the door to my apartment and walks right in. I was mortified. I always sleep with my room door closed, so there was absolutely no way that they would have known someone was in there except by opening the door. Since my roommate was a flight attendant, I knew it wasn't her because her flight would have been gone by this time, so there was really no way she could even answer her phone since there's no service when they're up in the air. I was frantically texting her to let her know that someone was indeed in our apartment without our permission. Where we live, our landlord must give 24 hours notice before entering the property. As I lay in bed, crying and shaking out of pure fear, the person seemed to have just walked around the living room area and then left again. As soon as I heard the front door shut, I ran and locked all of the locks and put across the chain that would keep anyone from getting in, even if they had a key. To this day, neither me or my roommate know if it was the same person or someone who had previously lived in the apartment. We have no idea who it could have been. We left that apartment building only a couple months after that and moved into a more friendly and seemingly safer neighborhood. Whenever I drive past that building now, I always get the creeps. I don't think that I'll ever forget what happened. In Michigan, there's a little place called Traverse City. It's a smallish, very esoteric hippie kind of town. In this town, there's a bona fide abandoned mental institution, complete with an absolutely enormous deserted grounds and dilapidated buildings, an old rusty water tower, and a huge stone basin in the middle of the woods that could hold maybe about 50 people. You know, the works. This actually isn't the creepy part, believe it or not, as nothing scary really happened there. It was actually quite the popular hangout for college kids to get stoned and whatnot. It's more of a small detail on just how strange this town is, and kind of a backstory. You see, when the mental ward shut down, the patients were basically let loose to their own devices, and many of them ended up as one of the many homeless people that just roamed the town. and some of them just ended up in the Whiting. The Whiting was the cheapest apartment in town, basically a month-to-month hotel. It really wasn't a bad place. There was a housekeeper that stopped by once a week to clean the place up. It wasn't falling apart or infested with pests or anything. It was technically a sort of halfway home years and years ago, and it had to be shut down when some man was found dead of heroin overdose on the front steps. It eventually reopened to the public again, and some of the people who lived there previously had nowhere else to go and moved back in. At this point of the story, I was a really broke college kid. I got some really weird vibes from the place, but I was really short on money, and I thought it would be an interesting experience, to say the least. Well, I wasn't wrong. First of all, it looked like the architect had actually gleaned inspiration from The Shining. Long, narrow hallways, some straight and some swooping around. Some that started out normal and then got so narrow that you literally had to walk sideways to fit. There was painted over doors and doors that led to nowhere. And tiny doll-sized doors in the hallway that never opened. There were a lot of creepy pictures of crying girls or off-putting abstract paintings decorating the walls. My friend lived in a small room that had a large mysterious X painted over his bed. He also had a painted over locked door to his left. And my other friend who lived on the second story at the end of the building had a window that looked out of a straight up brick wall. Pretty bizarre, right? Well, wait until you meet your neighbors. Schizophrenics and drugged out zombies wandered up and down the halls or peeked out of their doors before slamming it shut. You could just be walking along when the door would suddenly open and a battered looking woman would tell you that the other tenants were trying to hurt her and that she was going to be sleeping with a knife for protection. Another good friend of mine once opened her door and found an entire lamp taken apart piece by piece and then aligned on her doorstep. There's a few incidents that really stick out in my mind. Once I went to the shattered kitchen to make myself lasagna. One of the women was already there and she was sitting in a kitchen chair, just talking to herself in a high-pitched girly voice. Now, this woman was a big and rather imposing individual, made all the more intimidating because she had a habit of ramming people in the shoulder whenever she passed them in the halls. She's just sitting there and mocking and insulting me the entire time, but all to herself as if I can't hear her. All while eyeing me with a sideways, dead-eyed kind of look. Every now and then, she gives a high-pitched giggle that sounded truly sinister. Well, I then say, everything all right? And she's muttering to herself, the thing's talking to me. I won't respond. And then she giggles. I'm definitely perplexed at this point. I pick up a fork and I'm getting ready to exit, and she then starts really flipping out and starts rapidly saying, you got a fork? You gonna kill me with that? You gonna stab me in the throat and murder my family with that fork? Yes, she was actually screaming by the end of it. I didn't stick around. I could still hear her screaming whenever I would take my crap out of the door, going on about hurting her. And just like some movie, I can hear high-pitched hysterical laughter echoing down the halls as she gets louder and louder. Truly brought goosebumps up to my arms, I can tell you that. Another time, a man was so messed up on some substances that he could hardly stand and he tried to chase me. He was at the foot of the stairs and I had to pass him, and he tried to slur some nonsense at me while I walked by him. I think he said something about a shower. Well, he reaches out and grabs my arm and then tries pulling me toward him. I pull away so fast that he gets knocked over, and as I'm running up the stairs, he's trying to collect himself and stand back up. I hide in my friend's room and we can hear him slouching and banging up the stairs, just calling for me in a doped up sort of way. About a week later, he apparently forgets about it and I see him in the lobby. He had asked me which room I lived in. So yeah, that's a brief summary of the really creepy place that I lived in at one point. It was definitely an interesting and creepy experience, to say the least.
Thank you for reading my story. I must start by saying this story falls about average or maybe even below average on the scary meter. But it was such a strange event that I found it discussion worthy. So, maybe some of you will rate it high on that strange meter, and maybe some of you will just think it's lame. I lived in the third house at the end of a dead-end road just on the outside of a small town in Ohio. Many strange and dark things happened there. Maybe I will share those stories some other time. But one night, I was left perplexed by something I saw from my bedroom window. This old house did not have central air. Although I had a window unit in my bedroom, I'd like to shut it off and open the windows on cool, breezy nights. I loved listening to the sounds of nature, surrounding the dead-end road where many miles of woods, where I would see coyotes, raccoons, possum, and deer. These were everyday sightings. There were many times throughout many nights where the woods would go silent. I think most of you know when the woods go silent, there is likely a predator of some kind nearby. One night, I had my windows open. It's after midnight sometime, and I'm just browsing Pinterest on my phone when the woods go silent. It seemed like it was 5 minutes or so before I noticed how long everything had been silent. You could even hear a pin drop. Normally, when the woods go silent, it was never for more than a couple of minutes. Being curious and wondering if coyotes were sniffing around my front porch again, I got up and looked out my bedroom window that faces the front of the house. Now, at this time, I can't remember if I had started listening to these kind of podcasts or not, so I'm not sure if I had ever heard the stories of Wendigos or not deer creatures. Listening to one of the Swamp Dweller podcast shows made me remember this event and realize what I saw may have been one of these creatures. For context, the road at the front of my house was paved and went straight until it widened off into our driveway to the left, and the other portion went straight ahead to the right, and Y turned into a dirt and gravel road. Then, I looked out the window. Everything was silent, and I was surprised to see what appeared to be a very large and lonely buck walking down the middle of the road towards the dirt road and straight ahead. I watched for it, finding it strange that it was all alone. Normally when you see one deer, there are at least a few close by. As I watched it walking towards the dirt road, I thought it looked strange. First off, I'll be honest, I'm no hunter, but this buck looked massive, 2 or 3 times larger than what might be considered average. Not only was it large, but the way it walked, like it was being worked like a string puppet, or like it was in a trance, or maybe even how a soldier would march. It never turned and looked at me. I never made a sound. I just stood there, rubbing my eyes, trying to figure out what the heck I was seeing. I was 100% sober during this, just a heads up. Before it reached the point where I couldn't be able to see it from my window, I looked around. I'm not sure why. Maybe I was trying to see any other deer to rationalize what this was. This was only for a second, and when I looked back, it was gone. There was no way it could have left my line of sight so quickly. That's when I realized I never heard its footsteps. It never made a sound. Just the woods came back to life right then and there, and I almost jumped out of my skin from being so spooked. I just stood at my window, feeling bewildered. What the hell did I just see? Whatever it was definitely not a deer. This thing made the forest, which was usually very loud at night, go dead quiet. The way it walked, its size, how it just disappeared. The whole situation was just so bizarre. I thought about telling my roommate what I saw, but he was not a sensitive person and not a big believer in the unknown or the paranormal. Although a year or two later, when the house was being renovated, he started to believe. But hey, that's another story entirely. So there it is, my potential not deer sighting. Like I said, it's not the scariest story, but it's a head-scratcher. Do any of you have a similar story? Can anyone tell me what they think I saw, or what they think the not deer was doing marching down the road just to disappear? I feel like if I had made a sound or engaged with it, the situation may have escalated. I was always under the impression that there might be a portal on the property for spirits or unknown things to come and go through. Is that what the not deer was doing? Just taking the portal back to hell for a dinner engagement with Satan? This story takes place in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park in Tennessee. For those who are not aware, the Appalachian Mountain Range is approximately 480 million years old, and I've always wondered, while hiking in the park, about what kind of animals once roamed the hills we hike today. In the summertime, the dense vegetation and the abundant rhododendrons can take you back to a prehistoric age when the dinosaurs would have foraged among the same hills the hikers now casually walk, basking in the unparalleled beauty that is the Smokies. This event happened in late December, when the leaves fall off the deciduous trees, opening the hills to your eyes, allowing you to see the contours of the land as you hike. Me and my girlfriend were staying in the small town of Weirs Valley, which is approximately 45 minutes west of the bustling tourist trap of Gatlinburg. We'd stayed in Gatlinburg in years past and decided that this year we wanted a small cabin, far from the normal hustle and bustle of the late December tourist rush. Many of the locals spitefully call this period from Christmas to New Year's Hell Week. Knowing this, we decided to stop at a small hiking store and inquired about a day hike that would take us far into the backcountry. They pulled out a map detailing the western end of the park and showed us multiple trails that would fit our description. We ended up settling on a trail that was about 4 miles one way, with a massive waterfall as the reward at the end of the trail. We arrived at the trailhead at about 9 in the morning, and there was only about one car there already. Perfect. It was an elderly couple getting their packs ready for their hike, and we were excited at the lack of hikers. As our goal for the day was to try and not see a human being for the entire hike, the first half of the hike was entirely uneventful. We reached the waterfall after about 2 hours or so, and sat down and took a lunch break before departing back towards the trailhead. Before I continue the story, I want to make a note that we had not seen a single person the entire hike so far. We had not even seen so much as a plane flying overhead. That's why we turned the corner on the trail and we froze in our places. There was a girl walking alone about 50 yards ahead of us. Now, normally it's not uncommon to see people hiking alone, but they typically look the part. They usually have a hiking pack, hiking shoes, and they'll almost always acknowledge you and ask you how your day is before you go in your separate ways. Not this girl. First and foremost, she did not look like she belonged out there. She looked like she was about 15 or 16 years old, and she did not have a bag or any walk. She was about 15 or 16 wearing tennis shoes, which was odd considering that this rugged trail demanded heavy hiking boots. We were shocked to see her out this far by herself, and we were even more disturbed that we didn't see her before turning the corner on the trail. She essentially appeared out of nowhere. After me and my girlfriend exchanged concerned looks, we decided to continue down the trail as normal, as we didn't want this girl to turn around and see us just standing there and spook her. We made ourselves known as best as we could by kicking rocks with our boots and talking to each other. This girl didn't turn around and acknowledge us or even respond to us one time, even when we said hello. After about 50 yards of following her at a distance, we reached a creek crossing with a rudimentary path of dry rocks as the only way to cross. She put her arms out to balance herself, and we both noticed that when she put her arms up, it didn't look right. Unless you had terrible balance, there was no reason to balance yourself on this little creek crossing. Calling it a creek is almost giving it too much credit, as it was more like a gentle stream coming off the hill that crossed the trail and flowed to the river below. The water at its deepest was no more than 6 inches, and if you had halfway decent hiking boots, you could simply walk through the water without getting your feet wet. Wanting to be considerate of our fellow hiker, we decided to wait behind her as she arduously crossed the creek. She took way more time than she needed to cross, and it felt like she was deliberately walking slow to creep us out. We crossed the creek in about 30 seconds time after watching her take 2 or 3 minutes. Keep in mind, this creek was maybe 15 feet long at that, and as I mentioned, maybe 6 inches deep. I decided to cross before my girlfriend because I had a nauseating feeling in the pit of my stomach about the entire situation, and I wanted to put something between her and my girlfriend. Because I had my eyes glued on this girl, I wasn't paying attention to where I was walking, and my foot slipped from the rock and fell into the water, making a very loud splash. Even though this girl was less than 20 feet ahead of us, she still did not turn around and acknowledge us. After me and my girlfriend crossed the creek, we could see that shortly ahead were a set of switchbacks going down the mountain. We decided to stop and put some distance between us and the girl. She was walking at an incredibly slow pace, and we waited for a couple of minutes before we saw that she had gone around the corner down the first switchback. Me and my girlfriend had a brief conversation about what the heck just happened, and we collected ourselves and continued down the trail. We didn't think anything much of it. We just tried to continue going without being unnerved any further. We thought that was the case, and so when we turned down the first switchback and saw something terrible, well, we saw nothing at all. The girl had vanished, unless she took off at a sprint as soon as she turned the corner. We should have seen her. The switchback was very gradual, and we could clearly see the next 5 or 6 switchbacks below us. The leaves were gone off the trees, allowing us to see every foot of the trail below. Even if she started running, we would have heard her. The main river was about 500 feet below us, and the rushing water was barely audible from where we were standing. She either vanished, hid behind a tree from us, or somehow managed to sprint a quarter mile down the mountain in complete silence away from us. We had absolutely no idea what to think, so we once again stopped to collect ourselves. We were terrified and were not sure whether to go back up the mountain or continue down as planned. After a hurried deliberation, we decided to proceed down the trail as normal. We never saw her. As we reached the trailhead, we ran into a group of hikers and we figured we'd ask them if they saw a teenage girl hiking along without a backpack. They gave us a strange look and said we were the first people they'd seen on the trail all day. We simply thanked them and continued, as to not scare them. I've always heard of paranormal things happening in the Smokies, from Bigfoot to skinwalkers to a group of wild mountain people living primitively within the park. I've always entertained these stories because who doesn't love a good ghost story? I've never anticipated having an encounter of my own in the woods. The scariest thing to me about the encounter all these years later, though, is that we never saw her face.
Before my husband and I got married, we were living together in a mediocre apartment complex in a similarly mediocre part of the city. Now, it wasn't an especially dangerous place, but security at the complex was severely lacking. For context, I once had my car stolen right out of the parking lot in broad daylight without anyone noticing. Another issue with the complex's parking lot was its shortage of spaces. This was usually more of an annoyance than anything, but on one occasion, it had put me in very real danger. I was still finishing my degree at the time, and I had night classes that, in combination with an hour and a half commute, left me getting home on most nights well after 11 p.m. Often I was lucky enough to find a space in the main parking lot by my building, but there were a few occasions when I found myself having to park in a much farther lot. The slot was very poorly lit, it had no buildings near it, and usually had very few cars in it. It was creepy in and of itself, but what really scared me about it was the extended walk from it. As a 21-year-old woman, I had already had plenty of experience with creeps, late-night walks, and unpleasant combinations of the two, but usually those walks were down a street or somewhere more public. Walking alone through this big, dark, empty lot really made me feel like sitting prey. No one had noticed when someone stole my car in the middle of the day. Why should I expect anyone to notice if something happened to me there in the middle of the night? With all this going through my head most nights to begin with, there was one evening in particular when getting out of my car just felt like a really bad idea. Now, I'm not a superstitious person, but my intuition was buzzing from the very minute that I unlocked my door. I'd only taken a few steps when I had spotted a man standing stock still right by the dumpster near my building. He didn't have any trash. He wasn't looking through it. He wasn't smoking. He wasn't doing anything. He was just standing there looking at me. I was still all the way across the parking lot, but other than getting back in my car, there was no way around him. The dumpster was squarely in the middle of the two entrances to my building, so no matter which way I went, I'd have to walk directly toward him. My keys were already between my fingers, but I wasn't feeling very confident about whether this would help or not. I'm not a strong person,
and I'm also only about 5'3". More than anything, I felt silly for being so afraid, but I knew in my gut something was wrong. This man had appeared out of nowhere. I'd driven past the dumpster on my way into the lot, and he hadn't been there. Also, I knew what everyone in my building had looked like, and there's absolutely no way that he would have had time to get there from another building between when I passed the dumpster and when I parked. As I got closer, it became increasingly obvious that I wasn't imagining the man staring at me. Especially because, as I got closer, he turned his body so that he was always facing me. Kind of like a sunflower, just rotating in place, always watching me. Then came the moment when I had to pass him to get to the door. I felt really silly doing it, but I turned around and walked half backwards as I got close to passing him. I left a really wide space between us as I drew near by walking in the grass instead of on the sidewalk, but I still didn't want to turn my back on him. Eventually, though, I had to, and the second I did, I heard footsteps. Not just footsteps, but running footsteps. They were coming toward me, and really fast. So I ran too. I sprinted to the building, ran up the steps to the door, entered the pen as quickly as I could, and then hoped to hell that he wouldn't be able to follow me. I didn't stop running until I got to my apartment door, 3 flights of stairs later. My neighbors were probably pissed about the noise, but I was terrified. The second I got in the door, I told my then fiance everything that happened between panicked breaths, and he immediately called security. While he did, I went to go peek through the balcony window to see if I could spot the man. I couldn't. He was nowhere to be seen. When security finally arrived, they reported the same. No one was around. I still have no idea what the man was doing there before I got there or where he came from, and I've moved across town since then. But to that really creepy guy from my apartment parking lot, I really hope to never encounter you ever again.